My preacher from years ago used to say that life is a veil of tears. Never understood why he preached so hard and had so many tears while he preached, but the older I get, the more tears I preach with and the more I understand the heartache. Today I want to help you. I mean that. If you'll keep your Bible open to Psalm 107, we're going to come to this in just a little while. But we live in a day and in a time of distress. People feel the stresses of finances and health and the news media and the hectic pace of life and et cetera, et cetera. Then if you add the bad news and then all the family dynamics of life, it seems like from time to time life is going to about crush us. I cannot tell you that you'll ever be able to eliminate stress from coming to your life. I would be lying if I said you could eliminate stress from coming to your life. But I can teach you how to live without being distressed. Recently, I went to the doctor. There was nothing wrong, just a checkup. And she took my blood pressure and did all, you know, kicked the tires and changed the mirrors and all that kind of stuff. And she looked at me and my doctor said, she said, "Pastor, for a man that faces as much stress as you do, your body doesn't seem to react to it." And I said to my doctor, I said, "That's where you've got it wrong." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Stress comes to me, but I let it go through me. I don't hold on to it." She said, "Can you teach me?" And in a few short moments, I took just about 3 or 4 minutes and I pretty much so preached this little outline to her. And she said, "Wow, that is amazing." I said, "Yes, and I'm going to be preaching this truth to my people one of these days." She said, "That needs taught all over." And I said, "It does." And my blood pressure is almost perfect. My heart rate's almost perfect. My life is not perfect, but my wife is. And brownie points for lunch today, amen. But may I say something? You could ask Miss Wally. She's been living with us for the last year or so. My house is not full of stress. I get a lot of bad news, but I don't live stressed out. What is stress? We see a word in the Bible. The word is distress. And we've changed the word distress to the word stress. We've just gotten rid of the prefix for it. But the word distress means adversity, affliction, trouble, to narrow or to constrict or to squeeze. When you're under stress, you feel everything squeezing in on you. The back of your neck feels like somebody's got you in a vise. Life seems to keep narrowing and squeezing in on you, and the pressure just begins to keep pushing down on you. That's what the word stress or distress is. In other words, stress or distress are the complications of life squeezing us emotionally, physically, mentally, or financially. May I say something? It's the pressure that you feel from living life. Let me say right here a statement that ought to change your life. Pressure does not break you. Pressure reveals the cracks that are already there. Pressure does not destroy you. Pressure reveals the weakness that is already there. If I were to add pressure to this bottle, it would burst and it would crack at the places where it is the weakest. The pressure did not make it weak. It revealed the weakness that was already there. Does that make sense to everybody? When stress comes to your life, you say, "Well, I'm about to crack up." No, you were already cracked. You're just finding out where they are. Stress does not crack you up. It just reveals where the weaknesses were in your life. Now listen to me. We can look at pressure as negative, or we can use it as a way to show us how to get stronger. Let me say that again. We can let stress cause us to be negative, and as all we do is focus on that weakness that we see, or we can use that stress as it comes to our life to say, I need to shore this part of my life up. I need to fill in the crack. I need to get some added strength here. You see, just like exercising adds strength, we need to add strength to our life so that stress does not reveal our cracks. You see, to exercise, you have to put your body through stress. Exercise is not getting up and going to the refrigerator and sitting down with food and eating. Exercise is not how much you can pile on your fork or your spoon at one time and poke the pie hole with it. All right? Exercise is when you begin to put stress on your body physically, whether it be cardio and you get your heart rate going up, whether it be weightlifting or different types of other motions, whether it be core or whatever. And what you're doing is you're adding stress to your body, but you're making your body stronger because of it. Why is it then when people have stress come to their life, they just want to fall apart rather than saying, look, it's revealed a weakness and I need to work on this. Can I tell you something? Listen to me very carefully here. You're not going to stop death from coming. To you or to anybody else. Since we know, as it is appointed unto men once to die, why is it we freak out, we panic, and we crush under pressure when somebody that we know or love passes away? Can I tell you why? Because you're focused on the pressure and not what took place. Since it's going to come, how about you get yourself ready for when it does come? Everybody understand that? Nobody has to enjoy it. I didn't say death was enjoyable. But we ought not be cracked in under pressure and duress and distressed over the fact that somebody passed away. Say, so, well, it was just a tragic thing, preacher. Yes, it is, and I get that. But I've said this before, I'll say it again. At what point in time in life will somebody pass away and it's okay with you that God allowed that to take place? What's the magic age or the magic number? And by the way, God didn't sin, we do.
That's right.
God didn't bring the death, we did.
That's right.
Because all of us are sinners.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me explain this thing about stress in a different way. Teenagers, young adults, college age, young married couples, you live in a highly stressed type time of life. Adriana, Elizabeth, and Sam, you're really stressed because you got Scott. you know, you take the time of college. College, there's more to college than just book work. It's learning to juggle a job, pay for things, get through college, relationships, all the other things that go with it, and try to keep it all going without falling apart. I get that. Then you get to the young married stage, and now you're living with somebody of a different gender, and at least in real marriage. But I just thought I'd better say that. But you're living with somebody that you're not really related to, and they don't see life like you see it. Did you know men and women view life differently? I know that is a shock to you. Every man knows that the place at the top of the steps or the bottom of the steps is where the coat goes. You're supposed to hang your coat there, or you know, the wife can put it away later. She, if it bothers her bad enough, amen. I get that, and I've gotten it more than once. Trust me. But then children come, and the stress of having a new baby, and the no sleep, amen, and all the other things that go with it. And us old codgers, we look back and say, ha, 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 that's why God gave them to you when you're young, because if you got my age, you wouldn't want them. Been through this. Now, wait a minute. What is that? We look at some of the things that you face as I'm 54 years old. I look at somebody in their 20s or their 30s and say, that ain't nothing. I've been through that. Now, wait a minute. It's their first trip through it. It's stressful for them. Be careful, us middle-aged and older than middle-aged people. That was a nice way of saying that. But be careful that you don't look at somebody and say, oh, it's not so bad. You'll get through that. I went through tougher than that. Be careful. It's the first time they've been through it. And remember, you got tougher because you did go through it. You know, that's why you had more than one kid. If you'd have known what you know now, you'd have skipped the kids and just gone to grandkids. Amen? You say, why? Because that's the best way to do it, I'm told. But wait a minute. Us old veterans realize that those times made us stronger. Those financial struggles of the college years and the early married years and the early childhood years of your children and the stress and the strain that go with those things, you look at that like, I wonder if I'm going to make it to the next meal. I've been there. But now I look back and say, I can skip a few. It's okay. You say, how is that? Because I've been through that stress before. We look at the stresses of, well, my baby's got a fever. Yeah, from about the time they're 6 months old until they're three, they either have a fever or one end or the other is always running. Just count on it, all right? And God loved doctors, but I looked at one and called him a filthy liar. He said, well, children cutting teeth and earaches are not related. I said, that's pretty funny because every time one of my kids got a tooth, they got an ear infection. He said, well, it's not related. Well, it may not be related, but the stress from it sure does help cause it, is all I'm going to tell you. You know, I've been through the fevers. I've been through the RSV and the 30 days on a, or 3 weeks on a ventilator, and been through the asthma and the and the nebulizer treatments and all the things that go with that. Then when my daughter was about a year old or 2 years old, she was eating popcorn and choked on popcorn while she was at the babysitter's. And for the next 7 months, she was in a perpetual asthma attack to the point where we were doing nebulizer treatments every other hour for 24 hours around the clock for weeks at a time. Ended up at Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. They went in with a bronchoscopy and said she's either swallowed a toy or a piece of food and it's gone down her windpipe. And as it breaks off, you have a little fold of skin over there and there's two little holes, one for the top half of your lung, one for the lower half of your lung. And the one on the lower half of her lung on the one side was all plugged up. And he said, it's either a toy or a piece of food or something. I said, popcorn kernel? He said, that could be it. And pulled out the picture and he said, that's what it looks like. I said, she choked on one of those last December. This is July. He said, well, we're going to go back in with a bronchoscopy and see if we can pull it out. If not, we got to crack her chest open and get that thing. She's only been using half her lung for the last 7 months. They went in. Yeah, signed the paperwork for that one once. Oh, God, help me. They went in. Doctor went in. He said, as soon as I grabbed a hold of that thing and pulled it, he said, her lung inflated. And she was back to normal as far as breathing. She's never been normal. Wait a minute. You say, preacher, why don't many things fluster you? Why don't you get too out of sorts? I've seen so many things, it doesn't pay to panic. I don't feel those stresses. I feel it come to me. But I let it reflect off of me because I know I've been down this path before and we're going to make it through together. Can I tell you something? The stress may come to your life, but you don't have to store the stress. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God tells us in Psalm 107 that he will save us and bring us out of our distresses. Look at verse number 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their what? Trouble. And he saveth them out of their distresses. Look at verse number 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Now, God does not tell us that he will prevent stress from coming to you. Everybody, listen to that statement. God never in the Bible tells you that you won't face stress. The greater the stress, the greater the person. The people you admire most in this book are the people that faced the greatest amount of stress. Moses, David, Joseph, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, Peter, others in Scripture, Job. I could go through the list. And you know them because of the stress that came through their life, but they didn't necessarily live with that stress compressing them to where they quit living. They saw the stress come. They saw it reveal the weakness. They shored up the weakness and they kept on going in life. Now listen to me very carefully here. God will not prevent all stress from coming to your life. But he said he will help us be able to live with that stress to where it won't break us. Let me put it down in, please don't take this as an offensive term. I mean it affectionately. Let's put it in redneck terms, amen? Terms I understand. You may get stuck in the mud, or you may get a mud ball thrown at you, but you don't have to live in the mud hole. You might get bogged down in the mud, but it doesn't mean you have to live in the mud hole. Stress may come to you, you may get dirty, you may get bogged down, but why do you continually want to live in that mud hole?
That's right.
Let's see what God has to say about stress and delivering us from our distresses. Number one, are you ready? Everybody smile. I love you. Here it comes. Make your cry to God and not other people around you. Reminds me of hunting. Tree and a coon. Arr, got one up the tree already. Amen. No. When stress comes, make your cry to God, not other people. Look at verse number 19. Then they cry unto who? The Lord in their trouble. Look at verse number 28. Then they cry unto who? The Lord in their trouble. Turn back to Psalm 34, just several pages back. Psalm 34. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I use it regularly. Psalm 34, look at verse number 6. Psalm 34, verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I want you to notice something. It didn't say that we cried to everybody in our neighborhood and everybody in our family and everybody at the church and anybody who would listen to us, we cried to. It says we cry unto the Lord. Okay, I'm going to go from preaching to meddling real quick. Everybody look at me. Your preacher is here to help you. Okay? And when you come to me for advice, I'm going to hear negative things. I'm not talking about that situation. What I'm talking about is you picking up your telephone and calling everybody and telling them, and you just go through your contact list one by one, telling them the same story over and over and over and over and over and over again. You say, well, preacher, I just have to vent. How about you vent to God?
Amen.
I don't find the word vent one time in the scriptures. I do see the word pray. How about you quit venting and get on your face before God and pray? Did you know, and I'm just going to, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Did you know I don't go home and tell my wife all the bad things that happen in people's lives? You wonder why she's so happy? And why she can be so silly. Amen, ladies. you say, how is that? Because I don't tell her all the negative I know. Well, preacher, you got to tell somebody. Who do you tell? God. Did you know you don't have to tell everybody all the bad things in your life? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having a good time. Glory to God. People only complicate and add to your stress. They are not going to relieve your stress. The more people you tell, the more stress you will be under. Can I tell you why? Because you keep living in the mud hole every time you tell it. And you're pulling them into the mud hole with you. My Bible still has Jeremiah 33:3 in it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I just happen to believe if we'll call on God in the time of distress, in the time of stress, in the time of pressure, God says, then I cry unto the Lord and he saved me out of my distress. I cried unto the Lord and he delivered me from all my troubles. This poor man cried and he heard me and delivered me from all my trouble. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can I tell you something? Sometimes pressure comes, stress comes to show you the weakness, to get you on your knees before God so he can show you things that you don't know. Maybe it is God's trying to get your attention so that you'll look at him and quit looking at the problem. We don't need to stress out everybody around us because we feel stress. Please don't take this the wrong way. If this hits you, so be it. It was God, not me. Just saying. But woe be it to... I hope I'm not the kind of person where people have to go around and say, well, be careful around preacher today. He's pretty sensitive. He must be under a lot of stress. Watch what you say. They are under stress right now. Do you know what that means? It means you can't handle stress. You're living with it instead of letting it pass through you. Sorry. Ouch. Why do you want to discourage your encouragers? Why go person to person to the people? You're seeking pity, not encouragement. You're wanting somebody else to hurt as bad as you hurt. You want somebody to, come here, let me pet you and let me burp you and let me love you and let me do this. No, you don't need that. Sometimes you need a swift kick in the backside and say, get up and get things going. Amen. You're seeking pity. You're not seeking relief from the stress. Pity will not take the stress away. It's not going to. Vacations are wonderful. But reality comes very quickly. Say, well, I took a little vacation from it. Yes, you did, but you got to go right back to it. Yeah. Can I tell you something? How about you live your life in such a way to where you don't have to have a vacation to keep from falling apart? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having too much fun here. Most people just seek attention because they face stress. They're wanting somebody to know they're going through a tough time. Do you know there are some people I don't ask how they're doing because I don't want to find out the latest news? Amen. Y'all know people like that? I know I do. Be careful who you ask that question to. You could hear more than you want to hear. Now, wait a minute. I love going to God. I know he hears me. And I know he has resources to help me that no person has. I love the song, Tears Are a Language. God understands. There's days I go to God weeping. My daughter texted me this morning and said, pray for Dad Dorsey. He's on his way to urgent care with chest pains. He's been up all night. My heart broke. I'll be honest with you. I got up and God and I took a walk. I said, God, I don't understand. I said, God, they've been through a lot. my friend needs you. I just need you to give them all the grace they need today. Be with their church today. Imagine what their church is facing right now. Imagine what an 12-year-old girl just lost her mama a year ago, next week. How afraid she must be. I could go on and on and on and on about that. If you knew the news that I get on my phone, bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. I'm not talking about news reports. I mean about people. That's why I don't like watching the news, because I don't need more negative. Amen? Why add stress? Say, preacher, how do you live with it? I don't. I let it pass through me. I don't let it come and pressure me. I pray for them and I trust God for the rest. And I don't go around telling everybody. When somebody needs prayer, yes, I'm going to do it. But I've been to churches. They print their prayer sheet every week. And there's people who have been on that thing for 16 years. You know every gizzard. You know every corn. You know each kernel of corn and everything they've got. And the average Wednesday night prayer service for a Baptist church is nothing but a depression time and a gossip time. Good night. I know a pastor on a ventilator right now. Been in the same church for 40 years. I know two pastors in the last week and a half that have passed away. I could go down the list. Say, preacher, how do you keep going? Because I let the stress come to me, but I don't hold on to it. Everybody doing all right? So don't go around telling everybody. How about you just tell God? When the stress comes, instead of venting, instead of telling everybody, how about you go tell it on the mountain to Jesus? Amen. Number two, I must hurry. I'm about ready to shout. Number two, God says his words will heal you from your stress. Look at verse number 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Can I tell you something? Right there is the answer to your stress. The word of God. The Bible says that God sent his word. Say, how is that? John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Guess who sent Jesus to earth? He is the word of God. By the way, I am not the only source of your spirituality. I am not your priest, scripturally. I am not, you are as much a high priest as I am, according to scripture, because Jesus was our high priest. And if you're saved, you're a priest with God. Amen. You have had the blood applied, and guess what? No need for an earthly priest. That's why God got rid of the temple style worship. That's why he started the church, not the temple. He fulfilled the temple, did away with it. I think it's a dangerous thing for somebody to get up and say, I can forgive your sins for you. According to scripture, that's an antichrist. I don't care what their name is or what their title or what their religion. I really don't. Say, well, preacher, that's pretty bold. Can I tell you something? God says that healing of stress comes through the word of God. Let me ask you a question. When stress comes, do you run to the Bible or do you ignore it? I'm not going to look. Do you run to the Bible or do you run to the bottle? Whether it be pills or alcohol. Too many pharmaceuticals are making money off of people's stress, and we ought to go to the Word of God. Amen. You don't need a pill for your stress. You need the gospel. You really do. I could delay your stressed out ability. Can I tell you something? Read the Bible, go do something for somebody, and take it to them, and get your mind off of what you're stressed out about, and watch what God could do.
Amen.
Not just read the Bible, but live the Bible.
Amen.
Did you know that healing is a process? You might fix something. Well, if you've got, your gizzard's hurt or whatever, the doctor gives you a prescription. You don't take the whole prescription at one time. You know, here goes 40 pills. Okay, I'll be better. No, you might be better, but not here on earth. Not a smart thing to do. What is that? They prescribe it a little at a time so that your body can use that to heal itself. Now watch this. God's healing doesn't always come immediately. But he can start you on a healing process. Boy, that's good stuff. Look at Psalm 119, just a few pages over. Psalm 119, look at verse number 28. Psalm 119, verse number 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to what? Thy word. Wow. God says that we could find strength in the word of God. Look at verse number 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that means stressed, that I might learn thy statutes. That's thy principles, the word of God. God said, it's good for me that I face affliction, I face stress, because in those times, if I'll go to the Bible, I can learn how to live what the Bible says, so that when the next time comes, guess what? I'm ready for it.
Amen.
I'm ready for it. I was talking to someone yesterday. Hadn't talked to him in over 20 years. And we were catching up a little bit. They had heard of my mom's passing, and I told them about many different things, and they said, Craig, you've been through so much. How do you do it? I said, I've learned that God is my strength. I said, God has taught me a wonderful truth, that God is my strength. And I feel very strong. I'm not emotionally torn up. Can I tell you why? I have the word of God. I hold in my hands the very words of God. God has given me every word. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get in your Bible and read it.
Amen.
I believe the child of God ought to spend a lot of time in the books of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Psalms opens the heart of God. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are books of wisdom that give you the ability to make good decisions when you don't have a good decision maker.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I live in the Bible. You say, well, preacher, how do you get strength? How do you keep going? How do you keep doing what you do? Because God has given me his word. And even though the stress comes, he's given me the word to be strong enough to get through it. And I don't look too far down the road. I just take another step.
Amen.
Do you know how you run 10 miles? You run the first step. And then you run the next step. Before too long, you're at the quarter mile mark. And then you say, I can go one more step. I can go one more step. You say, well, preacher, there are times I don't feel like I can just go one more step. Then I say, God, if I pick him up, will you help put him down? I might not be running, but I'm going to make progress. And eventually, I get to where I'm going. There are days that are heavy. Yes, they are. But if we just keep on going, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say run. Can I tell you something? But if you don't keep walking, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you don't keep moving, goodness and mercy will never follow you, because you can't follow something that's not moving. You say, well, where's God's goodness? Where's God's mercy? It's waiting on you to get off your blessed assurance and move. We have got to take the distress and the stress of life and keep moving through it. Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen.
That means this. When you don't feel like it, come to church.
Amen.
When you feel like it, come to church.
Amen.
Do you know how many times I come to church and don't feel like it? Now, wait a minute. I don't always feel like carrying everybody else's burdens. There are days I feel like saying, you think that's so hard? How about you carry my load for a little while? But that's not going to help you. And God didn't ask you to carry my load. He asked me to carry your load. Now, wait a minute. Maybe we ought to be here more, not less. Isn't it amazing when stress comes, the first thing to go? Doctor will say, well, you need to cut down on your schedule, so take all the extracurricular. Well, I go to church. Well, yeah, don't go to church.
Uh-oh.
Wrong decision. When stress comes, add church. Don't take it away. Well, I have too much to do, preacher. You have too much not to do. It's not the big things that clamor for your time. It's the little things. Did you know priorities don't clamor for your time? They're just there. Be careful not to get wrong doctrine from other quote-unquote Bible teachers. I'm just going to say this. Before you start reading religious material, maybe check with the preacher or Brother Josh about whether you should be reading their doctrine or not. Because there's a lot of people out there that call themselves Christian, and they're as far from it as a skunk.
Amen.
Trust me. Well, it's a Christian publication. That is a very broad term. That is a very broad term. Just because it's Christian doesn't mean it's biblical.
Amen.
Just like just because it says it's Republican doesn't make it right.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? I can give you names later. Maybe we ought to take the word of God and share it with somebody else. Did you know you get strong when you can help somebody else? That's what soul winning is all about. Can I tell you why one of the biggest reasons, not just to get people saved, that soul winning is important, but is so you get stronger in the word of God and stronger in your faith so that when things come, your faith will not be shaken.
Amen.
Do you know the best way to learn something? Teach it.
Yes.
Guarantee it. I know people that are very intellectual, but they couldn't teach a child how to eat. They really couldn't. They have all this knowledge stored up in their head, and they can, this is not a good word, but they can puke out all the information. But they don't know how to tell somebody how to do something. They can't teach them how to use it practically. They can barf the information right back out at you. Boom, all over top of you. But who wants to shovel that down the hatch? My job is not to spew information. My job is to teach you and to train you in the Word of God so that you can use it and help yourself, help your family, help others along the way. And you come back and get some more and we do it again. That means this, talk truth instead of gossiping with people. Instead of listening to the dirty talk at work, how about you start talking about something you learned in church? Boy, that'll shut them up. Well, we can't do that at work. Says who? They can talk about their immorality. How come you can't talk about the Word of God?
Amen.
Well, we might offend somebody. If their immorality doesn't offend you, something's wrong. Let them try to muzzle me. It ain't happening. So, first of all, we ought to cry to God, not everybody else. Second of all, God says his words will heal us from our stress. Number three, learn to praise God in times of stress. Look at verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Can I tell you something? I preached this just a couple months ago. God's good no matter what.
Yes, amen.
Notice it says to the children of men. That's not even talking about the saved person. That's called all humanity. Did you know God reigns on the just and the unjust? God's been good to all humanity. He hadn't come and taken everybody and thrown us all in hell. God's good. And if you look at your life, more of your life is good than it is bad.
Amen.
How about you keep a list of things for which to praise God for in your life? Are you saved?
Amen.
Let me try that again. Are you saved?
Yes.
Then maybe you ought to praise God for the fact that you're not going to burn in hell someday.
Amen.
Maybe you ought to thank God that your name is written in heaven. Maybe you ought to say, my name is written in heaven, I'll never die and go to hell, and I get to go live in glory with Jesus someday. I'll get to see my loved ones. I'll get to see my friends. I'll get to see people who have gone on before me, and I will not spend eternity in hell. I can get excited real quick on that
Amen.
One. My sins are washed away. Brother Ron, I'll never be judged for my sins. God's never going to put my sins on a screen in heaven. Jack Van Impe was wrong. And judge me for what I did. No, that was cared for at Calvary when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 4.5 years old. For 50 years I've been saved. A half a century. Good night. Now wait a minute. You say, well, there's a little stress in my life, preacher. Then how about you thank God for your salvation? How about you look at your family that are saved and thank God for them? How about you look at your church family and the new friends and the friends that you have that you know in the Lord and thank God for them? And all the things that God has done in your life up to this point in time, instead of concentrating on that one little thing putting pressure on you. You know, you get an ingrown toenail, it's not very big, but that little bit of pressure on that thing can sure cause a lot of grief. But can I tell you something? If you quit focusing on that one little spot and on the rest of the things, you can keep going. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having too much fun. To get out of stress, praise God for what he's done in your past. I'm not one of these healers, feelers, and squealers, all right? I'm not one of these people, you know, you stub your toe, well, bless God, the Lord wanted me to do that. No, that's why he gave you pain and say, idiot, don't do that again. I get it. I'm not one of these people that just, flop on the floor and jibber jabber. God's not in that mess. But can I tell you something? God's good no matter what. Not everything might be going good in my life, but can I tell you something? There's still more good going than bad.
Amen.
I had a preacher friend this morning. He said he was texting me, and he said something about, I wished I would have known you in those earlier struggling years of your church. I could have been there to help you. And I said, look, in a church like ours, if you're not struggling, you're not doing anything, because a church like ours is fighting the devil all the time, and you ought to always be struggling. He said, that makes me feel better as pastoring this church. I said, good. That stress is always going to be there, but may I say something to you? Learn how to praise God for what he's doing in your life. But not only that, how about you learn to praise God for what he's doing in somebody else's life? You know, there's nothing wrong with praising God for what's going on in Brother Josh's life, or in Karen's life, or Miss Lily's life, or Minuet's life, or Miss Leanne's life, or even Ellen's life. If you can learn, yeah, I'm not sure we can get as far down as brother. But can I tell you something? If you would learn to praise God for what's going on in other people's lives, maybe you'd get your eyes off your own stress. Stress becomes more stressful and distressful because you keep focusing on it. That's why you ought to tell God and not others. That's why you ought to run to the Word of God and not seek pity from everybody else. That's why if you'd learn to praise God, maybe you wouldn't crack up. I watched my pastor do this. I've helped other people do this. I've had this happen, but I remember Brother Heil saying, I had a lady come to me. She said, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. He said, well, let's postpone it. She said, "What do you mean? How are we going to do that, preacher?" He said, "This is what I want you to do. Got a piece of paper? Got a pen?" She said, "I do." He said, "Good. Write this down. Go home." She wrote, "Go home." Next to it, he said, "Bake some cookies." She said, "Bake." He said, "Just write it down. Okay, bake some cookies. Number three, all right, what? Take them to somebody else." She said, "Okay, take to somebody else. Now what's next, preacher?" He said, "Go do that." She said, "How in the world is baking cookies going to save my nervous breakdown?" He said, "If you'll just do it and come back and see me, let's talk about it." That was on Sunday. On Wednesday, she was in his line. She said, "Preacher, I went home, I baked cookies, I took them to somebody, I started feeling a little better. I went back home, baked more cookies, and took them to somebody else." She said, "I've baked 14 dozen cookies since Sunday, and I'm feeling so good, I just decided I'm not having my nervous breakdown." Can I tell you something? That's exactly what happens. We get so focused on it that we keep magnifying it, keep looking at it, and we keep rehashing that pressure. If you'd quit looking at it, the situation does not leave, but you won't feel the pressure because you've helped somebody else. Maybe we ought to praise God when somebody else is going through a good time. Isn't that what Romans 8 is all about? Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Let me read some verses to you. I love this. These are some of my wife's life's verses here. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress," oh, there's that word again, "or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers," that's government, "nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can I tell you something? I don't give a flying flip how bad this world's getting. They can't separate me from the love of God. And maybe we ought to go through Romans 8, 35 through 39 again and read through these things. And as they come to us, "Well, I just don't feel good, preacher." All right. But as you don't feel good, you can still help somebody. You can still praise God. You can still do something successful for God, whether you feel good or not. Everybody doing all right? Boy, there's so many things I want to say here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read two more verses to you. Verses 9 and 10. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Whew. Old Brother Roloff was sitting in jail, a preacher of the gospel for decades. What did they put him in jail for? Because he wouldn't take a license to run a Christian home. He was taking drug addicted, alcohol addicted, abused young people, getting them saved, teaching them the word of God, cleaning their lives up, and because he wouldn't come under the regulations of the state, they threw him in jail. You had to know Brother Roloff to really appreciate it. But I heard Brother Roloff in person, and he said, "I remembered they threw him in jail July 4th. DHHR came and locked up the buildings. Kicked out about 300 kids back out onto the streets to the devil." He said, "I remember sitting in jail about midnight, and I was remembering the scriptures." And he said, "At midnight on July 4th, I began to sing, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, when sin-stricken, burdened, and weary from bondage, I'd long to be free. There came to my heart this sweet message, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, my grace is sufficient for thee. In shady green pastures or on that rough sea, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, in the darkness of the jail, I heard a voice. Uncle Rolly, is that you? All the kids in his homes used to call Brother Roloff Uncle Rolly. He said, it's me. Who's this? He said, it's Big Mike. He said, Big Mike, what are you doing? He said, I'm back in jail, preacher. He said, I should have listened to you while you preached. Other inmates started saying, who's that singing? Brother Roloff at midnight in the darkness of the jail began to preach. Dozens were saved in their cells. Can I tell you something? It might look dark, but our God's a pretty big God. Doesn't matter what you're going through, you can praise God for it. My Bible says in Psalm 120, verse number 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. God says, even when you're in distress, you can cry unto the Lord, and guess what? He will deliver you. Psalm 118, verse number 5, talks about it as well. Hey, learn to praise God when you're under stress.
Amen.
Number 4, and I'll do this quickly. I'm about to shout. Look at verse 29. He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Watch this. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. When we quit telling others and we tell God, and when we learn to praise God in our distress, and when we use the word of God, then let God steer the ship. Let God calm the troubled seas. Let God guide the ship. And God said he'll take you to the desired haven. Huh. That means this. We need to trust God to help us through the stress of the storm. Kind of reminds me of when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and they were rowing to go from one side to the other. While they were rowing, a storm came up and they were tossed. They felt like they were going to die. And Jesus was out there walking on the water, going beside them. And they were willing to change their doctrine and said, they said, who is that out there? And they said, it's the Lord. And he said, are you sure? We thought it was a ghost. We thought it was a spirit. Now watch this. Peter said, if thou be the Son of God, bid me that I come to thee underwater. The Bible says that he walked out to Jesus, began to sink. Jesus picked him up, and it says the moment they got back in the ship, everything was calm. Another time they were out there, and Jesus was in the bottom of the boat sleeping, and a storm came, and these fishermen, these professional fishermen, thought they were going to die. They said, Lord, how can you be sleeping down here? We're about to perish. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, there's a storm brewing out here and we're about to capsize. We're about to die. And Jesus stood up and looked at the wind and rebuked it and said, peace, be still. And it stopped. Can I tell you something? They got to their desired haven. But I want you to know something. Jesus was in the same storms they were in. Jesus was walking on the waves they were afraid of. Jesus was sleeping through the storm they thought they would lose their life in. Can I tell you something? You won't face a problem too big for God. Brother Ron, I know something. No matter how bad it gets, he's going to get me through.
Amen.
And if the worst comes, I have to stay here. Say, well, I might die, preacher. Guess what? Heaven's not so bad. It's a desired haven, amen? You see, we need to let God take care of this desired haven. Do you know sometimes God has a better destination than you do? How about you let him steer the ship? So, well, this is where I want to go, preacher. Hey, if I'd have gone the way I want to go in life, I wonder where my life would be right now. I'm so glad I let God steer the ship. So, I can't promise you a life without stress. If you're married, I know you'll live in stress. If you have children, you will be distressed.
Oh, yeah.
But may I say something? You don't have to live with it in the mud hole. You can let it come to you and you can let it go through. You say, well, preacher, it's just so bad financially and you don't... Wait a minute, you don't have to live in stress. Learn to prioritize. Learn to live in the Bible. Learn to be spiritual. Learn to praise God. Quit telling everybody else. Get the help you need and go forward. And let's do this for God. Let's not live like these freaked out Christians. Are we going to take the mark of the beast? No. Preacher, are you worried about? No, I'm not. I'm not worried about any of it. Well, what if? Quit living in the what if world. How about you live in the word of God and the word of truth, and God told us exactly what was going to happen. It's right there. Why are you so worried about it? You say, well, it keeps getting worse and worse. That means you keep looking up and up because he's coming faster. Amen. Maybe we ought to quit stressing and distressing. Let's cry to him, not each other. Let's live in the word of God. Let's learn to praise him. And let's let him take care of what haven he puts our boat into.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. What a refreshing truth from the word of God. I know the people in this room. I know some of your stresses, not all. I know each and every person in here lives under stress, though. Without a doubt. But you don't have to live with the stress staying with you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Almost every hand. Thank you. You may put them down.